toward Sodom, bring them on the way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the word of the Lord to do justice and judgment. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence, and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Verse 23. And Abraham came near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I, who am I but dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. So put there were 5 less than the 50 righteous, will destroy all of the city for lack of 5. So he said, if I find here 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So I said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of that 10. So the Lord went, the last verse. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. In other words, return home. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, unto thee shall all flesh gather. In your name we are gathered this morning. We ask that you speak to us. Bless your word in our hearts. Grant us utterance. Your word is able to give life unto the simple. Let the word that is in it, the light that is inherent in your word, be our Lord this day in the name of Jesus. Every Father, that which you want us to pick from this passage, may we not miss it. In the name of Jesus, that which you want to do through the message of today, may we not miss it. In the name of Jesus, I enter the glory. Blessed be your name, Father. I hide myself behind the cross. Speak to your people. Bless them and bless me also. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray with thanksgiving. Shall we be seated? Our passage was such a lengthy one, but it's worth it. Today we are looking at the topic, bargaining with God. Bargaining with God. We have read a text, Genesis chapter 18, verse 16 to verse 33. Bargaining with God. The word bargain is not strange altogether to us. It's a common term in our everyday life. Of course, it is a word in economics and even in the world of business. And in economics, we talk about bargaining power. an economist to bargain has to do with the power or ability to influence the setting of prices or wages, usually arising from some sort of monopoly or monopsony position or a non-equilibrium position situation in the market. And in business, bargain has to do with the general concept of how much leverage or influence a bargainer has in the course of a negotiation. And what we'll find in our text is actually our father, a great patriarch, Abraham, who is the negotiator here, who is doing the negotiation, bargaining with God. Thus, bargaining is the art of one who bargains. The Bible tells us of people who bargained with God. I had the case of Anna. I had a time with the Lord and promised the Lord that when the Lord gave her a son, he would bring the son back to God, and he did just that. People like Jephthah and all of that, though many of those one with a vow, so to say. But here is our case study today of our father Abraham. We just jumped into the text from midway. If you start the reading from the beginning, discover that Abraham saw three men, visitors, in the hot afternoon while he was in front of his house, and immediately he sighted them. He ran to them, greeted them, and asked them to come in so that they could have water and some form of entertainment. They obliged, followed Abraham, and Abraham did just that. That is just by the way, but so that we link it to where we are actually picking our text from. After all of that, at verse 16, we were told these men stood up and they were about to go. In fact, two of them were in front, but these men were angels. But you know what? One of them is the Lord himself. And so, why the two, possibly the other, asked them, just beckon on them, just go ahead. And he was possibly having some talk with Abraham. And it got to a point, Abraham stood. The Lord was like, will I hide from Abraham that which I am about to do? Of course, the Lord will not. In Psalm 25, I see if we can get us Psalm 25 verse 14 and Amos chapter 3 verse 7. Any of them? Psalm 25 verse 14. Psalm 25 verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Let's get that of Amos. Amos 3 verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Are you one of them? You have this privilege as a saint, as a child of God. And so, the Lord, having said this in his mind, said, no, I need to bring Abraham into the picture of what I want to do. And the Lord told Abraham his mission, that he had come down to see the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, a twin city that had been engrossed in evil. They have come to see whether what was reported of them is actually true or not. And if that stands true, Sodom and Gomorrah stands to be destroyed, God told Abraham. And Abraham started wondering. Of course, we need to note here, that is in verse 20 and verse 21 of our text. After all, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah would be a lesson to be kept in mind by Abraham's descendants forever. So it is needed for us to also get it here that it was not that the Lord was ignorant of the exact situation in Sodom and Gomorrah. Rather, his justice demanded that the proof of sin be demonstrated to the sinner. While the man, that is the angel, went towards Sodom, Abraham remained standing before the Lord. That is in verse 22. He must have wondered how to approach the subject of his nephew, Lot, that was sojourning, that was resident in Sodom. at the moment and see how Abraham started. So he raised the matter of the righteous and the wicked, asking the Lord, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? That was the question Abraham asked. Verse 23 of our text. Let's see Proverbs chapter 14, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 11. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. So it has come to a time wherein Sodom and Gomorrah, these twin cities, had to be overthrown because of their wickedness. Then 12, let's see the one in 12, Proverbs 12, 7. Just like the one we have read now. Go back to chapter 7. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. He made an assertion here. Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked. Abraham asked a rhetorical question thereafter. Will not the judge of the earth do right? Of course, we know the answer. The judge of the earth will always do right. Abraham had pleaded with the Lord by raising the question of the wicked and the right. Of course, the scripture has so much to say about the lot of the wicked and that of the righteous. Several of them are in the book of Proverbs. And here Abraham was asking, will not the judge of the earth do right? Verse 25 of our text. It is worthy to note here that Abraham gives us an excellent example of intercessory prayers. He approached God on the basis of his character and is made without fear, but with all the appropriate respect for the Lord. Abraham was conscious of the fact that he had this unique privilege of talking with the Lord. Here was God standing with Abraham face to face, while the other two men, the angels of course, were already ahead, and Abraham stood before the Lord. And it was in a serious dialogue with the Almighty. And because with God is dialogue, he approached God on the basis of his character and is made without fear, but with all appropriate respect for the Lord. Abraham was conscious of the fact that he had this unique privilege to stand before his maker. And we need to glean some facts from this place. Like my father will put it, I'll make this submission and be true. Number one, Abraham was a man of prayer, a great intercessor. Here we see a prime example of a man who truly interceded. Having heard from the Lord what the mission of the Lord is in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham just stood and he remembered, oh, my brother, my nephew, Lord, that is where he resides. And he had to engage the Lord. His prayer was bold, it was audacious as he modified and introduced his initial request. We see how he started. He first asked that the city might be spared if there were 50 righteous persons. He said, Lord, peradventure you see 50 persons who are righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you still destroy the city? And God told him, say, I will not. For the sake of those 50 righteous persons, I will spare the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham was happy. And quickly he thought again, what about if they are not up to 50? And he asked the Lord again, my Lord, what if it's 5 less? In other words, if they are 45 altogether. And the Lord answered him again, for the sake of the 45, I will spare the cities. Abraham was happy. And again, he asked, my Lord, don't be angry with me, for I am ordinary dust. For I have taken it upon myself to speak boldly before my Lord. My Lord, Just let me ask again. What about if they are not up to 40? If they are just 30? Would you still go ahead and destroy the land? And God in return told him again, for the sake of 30 righteous people, I will not destroy the land. I will let the land be for the sake of those 30 persons who are righteous. And again, Abraham continued, my Lord, what about if they're not up to 30? If only 20 were found in the land, would you still go ahead to destroy the land? And the Lord answered him again, for the sake of the 20, I will spare the land. And Abraham, you see the consistency of Abraham in the place of prayer in this place. And Abraham asked yet again, my Lord, what about as we search, they are not up to 20, just less than. Of course, when he was on Monday last week, he said, just let me ask this one more time. What maybe he has concluded in his mind, at least my brother Lot with the wife, the children, maybe at least another family. So this one, 10 people go down complete now. Lord, what about if you are able to meet 10 persons who are righteous in the land? Will you still go ahead to destroy the land? And God graciously answered him again, for the sake of 10 righteous people, I will spare the land. And you know what? After this, Abraham possibly was confident that no harm, no matter what, 10 persons who are righteous will be found in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he put it there. He just stood. And you see the way the dialogue went. He first asked that the city might be spared if there were 50 righteous persons. That is in verse 24. And then reduce the number progressively to 45 in verse 28. To 40 in verse 29. To 30 in verse 30. To 20 in verse 31. And finally, in verse 32, Abraham requested, if you will find 10 persons who are righteous, will you still go ahead to destroy the city? And God again granted him the privilege, granted him that grace. Say, for the sake of that thing, I will spare the land. And when the Lord ran his cursor through the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, not 10 righteous persons were found there. However, the prayers, the interceding of Abraham saved Lot and his family. Number 3 points, the Lord responded to each of Abraham's petition, eventually assuring him that he would spare the whole place if there were even 10 righteous people there. Let's see John chapter 14 verse 3 and 14. John chapter 14 verse 3 and verse 14. John chapter 14 verse 13 and verse 14. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a wonderful promise. What a privilege to stand before the Lord. What a privilege to ask and receive answers. Of course, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, we're told, say, ask and you will receive. Knock, it will be opened unto you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened unto you. Number 4, the righteous are very important as it involves the overall scheme of things. The righteous are important in the agenda of God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14, 34. The righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that is exactly what came to play in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah in our text. That seeing their gross iniquity brought the reproach and destruction unto the entire land. Another thing we may need to know from our text, number 5, Abraham was a humble man. We find here the humility of the great patriarch as he bargained with God. Verse 27, let's see that again in our text. Genesis chapter 18, verse 27. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. What a humble man. James chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We see this humility in Abraham, even in our text here. Number 6, we can be confident that the judge of the earth shall do right at all times. That judge is the Lord. Can we chorus it once again? That judge is the Lord. Can somebody help me to chorus it? That judge is the Lord. That judge is the Lord. The judge we are talking about here is the Lord himself. And the judge of the earth will always do right. Here was Abraham who took his time to engage the Lord Almighty in this wonderful, inspiring, soul-touching dialogue. Because of his concern for humanity and for his loved one in particular. If you say 50, will you spare the city? What if they are 45? Will you spare the city? If it's 30, Lord, will you spare the city? If it's 30, if it's 20, what if we are only able to have 10 in the city? Will you spare it? And he was asking again and again and again. Because in Abraham, it is there so much that that land be spared. But of course, the judge of the earth will always do right. And he did just that. That is also our conclusion. Having given Abraham all the time he needed and patiently answered Abraham's questions, the Lord left. And Abraham returned home in verse 33. In verse 32, Abraham requested if the land would be spared for the sake of 10 righteous people. And God agreed that he would spare the land. At this juncture, Abraham was done believing that no matter what, 10 righteous people will be found. If the Lord says today that the iniquity of this land that we are has become too much, I am coming to destroy the land, would he meet righteous people? Would he be a part of the righteous people that will be spared? Thank God, Lord and his family were spared because of the intercession of Abraham. And this is a vital lesson we've got to go home with today. That God answers prayers and that there is need for us to intercede. And if there be any time we should be engaged in intercession, it is this time of our history as a people. Oh, you were not here in the morning where we had the morning prayers. Our brother told us that we now live in a generation that is very indifferent about the things of God. Youth who want to live their life the way they like will need to intercede for them. Or there are some young man passing with multiple ears, not just one now this time around, multiple, a man. And it calls for prayers. Abraham gave us this wonderful example here of the need to intercede. Abraham made his plea. He had interceded. He had bargained with God. He has stood the gap for a loved one. It was now the Lord's business to do what was right. Will you bargain with God today? Will you stand the gap for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, whose life is at the point of destruction today? Will you, like our father Abraham, stand the gap for someone? Shall we stand up? Shall we arise? The focus of this message is on intercession. We see our father Abraham, who was so concerned about lives in this twin city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you talk to God today about someone, possibly about your life? Are you living right in His sight? The land of Sodom and Gomorrah had to be destroyed simply because not 10 righteous persons were found in them. What about the destruction that awaits the souls of men? Many are stepping today into Christ-like, Christless eternity. Do you stand the gap for them? Do you pray for them? Here was Abraham, possibly sweating while he was in dialogue with the Lord. While he was asking again and again for this city. Can you talk to God? Are there people in the house this morning? Can you talk to God this morning? Will you, like Father Abraham, intercede for our nation? People will always say that if God does not destroy the earth, then He has to apologize for Sodom and Gomorrah. There is nothing like apologizing. The Lord will not go back. His standard remains the same. This different gospel of God is a merciful God. It will not be so mean to destroy humanity. It is lie. In the days of Noah, they had it. Sodom and Gomorrah were not spared. What will make us feel that He will spell our nation if we continue in gross iniquity? Can we talk to God this day and ask, Oh Lord, visit our land. Now that we stay under grace, oh God, have mercy on our land. Oh God, have mercy on our land. Your word says, righteousness is not the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God, have mercy on our land and deliver us from every impending destruction. Oh God, have mercy. Can you stand in God's place? Can you talk to the Lord? Can you talk to the Lord? Abraham, spend time talking with the Lord. Oh, thank God for that rendition from our choristers. About that mama who talked to Jesus all her life. That is what is expected of every one of us. Are you talking with the Master? Are you in touch with the Master? Are you in touch with the throne of grace? Are you in touch with your Maker? Are you in touch in prayers? Do you intercede? Do you cry before the Lord for the life of a loved one that is going astray? Can you talk to God this day about our loved ones whose way of life is not in tune with scriptural injunctions? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our Father, we return the glory to you this morning. We ask that your word that we hear today will not stand as witness against us, but that, Lord, our lives will be spared. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you will lead upon us the grace to stand the gap for others. The grace to stand the gap for our nation. The grace to stand the gap wherever we are. For others in our offices, for others in our place of work, for others we do business with, that we know for sure that they are not living right with you. Just as Abraham stood the gap, oh Lord, help us. As we stand the gap, who will have results in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Abba Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray.